All right, 1 John chapter 4. Let's read verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So, there you have it. Warning from the Bible, and not the only one, to try the spirits. Try the spirits. Now, you know, what I think about this is I think a preacher or anybody that gets up and tries to teach people or instruct other people in things of the Word of God and eternal life, salvation, and all of that, and how to live your life and what's right and wrong, ought to make it clear. The devil, God's not the author of confusion. Well, we blame it all on the devil. He is, and that's his main game, is sowing confusion and lies. But he's not the only one involved in it. You know, lots of people are too. And I sure don't want to be a part of that. You know, my goal is always to try to make straight the way of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, if I'm going to help you, I've got to try to help you not be confused. Because everybody's confused. That's a big problem that everybody has. We're all confused about all this virus thing going on and all what's going on in the world. We don't know what's going on. But a lot of people are confused about what's right and wrong. And boy, we met one yesterday up at the sawmill. My soul, tell you what. And I don't know how you'd ever straighten anybody like that out. I don't know what it'd take. It'd take God to straighten anybody like that out. The devil and all these confusing spirits has really done a work on him. Boy, it'd be a shame for somebody to sit in church where the Word of God's preached and somebody made straight the way of the Lord and they die confused and end up in hell. Shame. Shame, shame. And it'll be your own fault if that's what happens to you. Because, you know, if you heard the truth and you didn't listen and you wouldn't accept it and you wouldn't receive it, somebody tries to show you the way and you won't listen, and it's right, then it's your fault. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Well, most people do. They believe anything comes down the pike. As long as the preacher says it, doesn't matter who they are, what kind of spirit they got. They never try nothing. They never try any spirit. They just believe everything. Unless it's somebody trying to tell the truth and tell them right. I've noticed that that's rejected quite a bit. But try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So that tells you that a whole lot of what goes on in the places where the Word of God is preached is not of God. And it's not the Spirit of God that is motivating it, has anything to do with it. Well, we fail at what God has told us to do here because we judge people and not spirits. We don't judge the spirits, we judge people. We like people or we don't like people. Some people are pleasant to us and acceptable to us, and other people, we just don't like them. We don't like their looks, we don't like their personality, we don't like their attitude, we don't like something about them, so we reject them. Wouldn't matter what they told us. We reject it because of our own prejudices and our own taste and our own likes and dislikes. Now the Bible didn't tell us here to judge, you know, to try people. It says try the spirits. We're tripped up by the devil and by our own heart because of personalities and mannerisms and associations. I'm talking about what their different nationality. They're a different culture. They're a different color. They're a different race. Something about them. Their physical appearance or their gender. We won't listen to them. We reject them because of things like that. The devil gets us that way. That's self. Asserting itself. See? Try the spirits. It can't be self. It can't be what you like or don't like. That can't enter into it. I've got to love the truth, and I've got to be seeking to hear the truth, and I've got to search the Word of God and search the Scriptures to see if those things be so. But that's not all of it. You know, instead of looking beyond the person to the results and the consequences of what they what they are or what they're teaching. We embrace or reject their influence in our life based upon our feelings about or toward that person, see? So, try the spirits. Well, the spirit, we're to try the spirits, not the personalities. Spirit's the power behind the teaching. You hear me? Try the spirits. The spirit that he's talking about here is the power behind the teaching, the preaching. What is it that's motivating? What is it that's behind what they're saying? What is it that's behind the way they live? What is it that is going to happen? Because where's this leading us to what they're teaching us, what they're saying? Try the spirits. It's the power behind the teaching. We can identify with the spirit behind something if we'll take a good, honest look at where it is most likely going to lead us. You hear me? Y'all listening? This is pretty important. No doctrine, no teaching, no view of things that takes us down a road of worldly, fleshly, profane thinking is put forth by the Holy Spirit. Try the spirits.
Right.
It ain't the Holy Spirit that'll point you in that direction, that'll lead you that way, that'll influence you in any way to go that direction. It's not the Holy Spirit. Try the spirits to see if they be of God. Well, it ain't of God if it's going to lead you to sin in the world and away from God, to unholiness, to profanity. So, it's got to be another spirit that's not the force, that's the force behind it, if that's what it's doing. Now, the instruction here from God's Word is to try the spirit. So, it's a spiritual matter. It's not a fleshly matter. So, there again, we can't judge people by their personalities. I've met preachers that I just don't like. I don't like them. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like their attitude. But I better be careful just marking them off because I don't like them. I better be careful just turning off anything they say and counting everything they say as something. I ain't listening to that because I don't like him. I ain't listening to that because I don't think he's... He ought to be that way. He ought to talk that way. He ought to say those. I'm not trying the spirits. I'm trying the man, see? I've been helped by preachers that I did not like and still don't like. I can say I don't like them. I'd rather not be around them. They just rub me the wrong way. But I don't really want to be their friend. But sometimes... If they're preaching the truth, I've got to try the spirit behind it.
Yes,
sir. Now you got to get that.
Yep.
You know, false prophets will always appear exceedingly spiritual. I mean, it's no wonder that Satan's a minister, an angel of light. Therefore, it's no marvel that his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. The devil's preachers don't. You know, they don't look like some of these hoodlums behind the pulpit now. I mean, that's crazy. I don't know, the devil may be ashamed of them for being so stupid about everything. The devil's preachers, they appear to be preachers of righteousness. Oh, yeah. They're the slick ones. But appearing spiritual does not mean they're from God. Now, you got to understand these things, and you better mark them down because this is the command here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. You got to know. You got to have some discernment. And so you got to sort out your own feelings and preferences and prejudices from what is really the way to tell whether they're of God or not. You know, God uses all kinds of different people. Every preacher is not the same. Every preacher of God is not the same. His personality is not the same. His attitude is not the same. His voice, his manner, his personality. God uses all kinds. You know, there's this thing of David and Saul. And I read this little book years ago. Really made an impact on my thinking about the whole deal. The Tale of Three Kings. There's a lot in that little book. The question he kept asking, can God use a lost man? Yeah. The answer is yes. Will God give His power to somebody like Saul? Obviously, yes. So, we got to spiritually discern. If God will use a donkey, He'll use anybody. And whether it comes from God or not has nothing to do with the person. It's the Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God told that donkey to tell Balaam that he's going, you know, what a mess he was, to reprove him. Balaam said, "That's a donkey. I don't have to listen to no donkey. Donkeys don't know nothing. Donkeys ain't spiritual." Well, you better listen. That's the voice of God speaking to you. So, better leave this stuff out about who it is that's telling you. I saw a quote the other day, and I recognized the name. The quote was excellent. It was true, but it came from a terrible source. Now, should I just say, well, since he said it, forget that. Got to be wrong. Got to be something wrong with that if he said it. No, that's not right. That's not the right way to discern. God might be trying to say something to me through that. No matter who said it. You know, you got to learn to recognize the truth. No matter where it comes from. I hope that doesn't confuse you. You're never going to get steady on your course until you get that. Until you learn to buy the truth and sell it not. Until you learn to make truth, God's truth, your compass. You're never going to be able to stay on course. Just appearing spiritual doesn't mean you're spiritual. Most people who claim to be religious, they're easily excited about anything spiritual. I mean, it can be from the far reaches of witchcraft to the things that are in the Bible. And they'll get excited about it all because it's spiritual. I'm amazed that people don't even recognize witchcraft. People that call themselves Christians. And they, you know, they marvel in all of the witchery stuff. You know, they love Frozen. And it's full of witchcraft. They marvel at miracles and wonders and signs that happen in their life like that's God speaking to them. Try the spirits. You know how this world's going to be deceived during the tribulation? By the beast and the false prophet, they're going to do miracles and mighty works, mighty miracles and wonders in the sight of men. People are going to be deceived because, wow, that's got to be of God. No, it doesn't have to be of God. Pharaoh's magicians did everything Moses did up until the lice. They couldn't make something alive that wasn't. They turned a rod into a serpent. Turned a serpent into a rod. They turned the water to blood. They did everything. Think about that. Yeah. And when they did it, Pharaoh said, "Ha! Ain't nothing to it. They can do it too." You think those kind of people are not on the earth anymore? Yes, they are. We shouldn't get excited, you know, about things. You know, they get excited about anything spiritual, and they throw caution to the wind if it's something that moves their emotions, stirs their feelings of excitement or enthusiasm, or appear to be something miraculous. They don't try the spirits. They forget this verse completely. They forget this verse where it said, "Believe not every spirit. Question every spirit." Stop. Stop. Look at it. Is it of God? Or is it coming from somewhere else? How do you know? Not by who's saying it, who's doing it, but by where it's taking us. Which direction is this making me look? Which direction is this pushing me to go? In my thinking, in my opinions, in concerning righteousness, right and wrong, and what's holy and not holy, worldly and godly. Which way am I going here? Which way is this thing wanting me to go? This is all emotion. And it's not really spirituality. Emotion and spiritual is not the same thing.
Right.
truth will stir your emotions. But you don't, you're just because you're emotional don't mean that it's a spirit. You know, when somebody tells a story during an invitation about a tree that somebody tied white rags all over and make you cry, that's time to try the spirits. Now, what in the world? Is this the Holy Spirit of God who's going to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come? Is this the Holy Ghost of God that's the comforter that's going to guide us into all truth? Is that the Spirit that's making this man tell this big long story and make everybody cry? Well, I sat in a church service one time, probably 200-300 people there, and I didn't see anybody questioning. I just loved it. Love that emotion. Love that move my heart. Make me cry. Make me happy. And then we go away saying, boy, God really moved. It wasn't God at all. Most of the time, it wasn't God at all. Truth was thrown aside for fantasy and fables. And the Spirit of God will never do that. He is the Spirit of truth. As many times almost, if not more, that He's the Holy Spirit, He's called the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. The Spirit of truth. Try the spirits. Is it true? What He's saying? Is it really true? Will it always be true? Has it always been true? Check it. God don't change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord changes not. Now the devil is a master at deceit, and it's not always easy to recognize his imposters. He's good at it. Only those who have the spiritual discernment to look closely will be aware of his deceit. You know, you ever think about actors? You know, back in the old days, Christians had a thing about the theater. They said it was wicked and shouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Do you know what actors are? Liars. They're professional liars and deceivers. They're good at pretending to be what they're really not. They're so good at it that, like you was talking about Nellie Olson getting out in public and then somebody kicking her in the shins. Man, she made such, she was so good at it, people hated her. And it wasn't, I mean, she just pretended. Actors. They can do it for money in Hollywood. They can do it for free in church cantatas and everything. Yeah. And you don't think they could be one behind the pulpit? You don't think there could be a bunch of them sitting in the pews? Yes, sir. False prophets may be outright liars. Or they might be deceived professors. They might really believe what they're telling you. I believe a lot of them are. They may be wolves in sheep's clothing who are simply out to fill their own pockets or to take advantage of the sheep in some other way to fulfill their own desires. You know, there's a lot of thieves and there's a lot of fornicators and there's a lot of perverts and there's a lot of predators in the churches now. That's terrible to have to say that, but it's the truth. They preach whatever suits the crowd they're preaching to at the time. They really don't believe what they preach with their heart and are easily persuaded to exchange it for something that suits them better. That's why all the churches are going contemporary. That's why they've changed the format, changed the way they worship, it's changed the music, changed their Bibles. Everything changes when they're not anchored to the truth. You better try them spirits. That tells me right there that it's not the Spirit of God. Spirit of God never going to lead you to get a different version of the Bible. Right. Amen. Amen. I'll stand by that. I don't believe the Spirit of truth is going to lead anybody to get some other Bible that's full of errors and lies and missing verses. Right. Ain't going to happen. That ain't the Spirit of God that does that. Yeah. No. Try the spirits. Believe not every spirit. And He's not going to lead you to bring the world's filthy, violent, evil music into the church. Amen. He's not going to lead you to do that stuff. Where's it taking you? Toward the world. Toward sin. making place for it in the church. And so they'll change. False prophets, they'll change. They'll change with the times. They'll change. They'll exchange anything they got for something that'll keep this thing going better and keep their pockets lined and keep their life comfortable. They'll just switch up every how they have to do it to be successful. That sounds better, see. I never saw anywhere in the Bible, we're just about to get done with Acts there. I didn't see anywhere where not any one of the apostles was worried about being successful. They didn't worry about that at all. That was no concern of theirs whatsoever. Now they may be a poor, deceived soul themselves who thinks they're on the right track and that they're helping others. I believe I've known some of them too. I believe I know some. They really and truly believe their false doctrines, and they'd die defending them. But being sincere does not make you right.
That's right.
And neither does it prove that you're led by the Spirit of God. Being sincere, yet wrong. You're not in the truth. You're not walking in the truth. You're not led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter how sincerely you believe it. The key to trying the spirits behind these preachers and teachers and professors is to take an honest and thorough look at where their leadership is going to take those who follow them. Will it lead to a more holy life? Oh my, that thins it out real big there, doesn't it? Thins it out. How many preachers are teaching their people to live holier lives? Most of them are not. They're not. They're making an excuse for them. They're making an excuse for the people in their church. Because they told them all they had to do was raise their hand and say this prayer, and they was in. Well, they did it, but they ain't living right. So now what's he going to tell them? Well, you got to live right. Well, you didn't tell me that. That wasn't part of the deal. So you got to make an excuse for them. If you really believe that, when you tell people that, then you have no power or influence to try to get them to live right. They don't believe you have to because you told them, you let them in that way. Will it lead to a more holy life and a closer walk with God or to a looser life and compromise with the world? Well, I've known a lot of preachers in my time, and they've led a lot of people off into the world and loose living by omitting the truth.
That's right.
By compromising, by exchanging things so they can keep the boat afloat. Mm-hmm. What kind of spirit is it behind a person like that?
Yeah.
What's motivating them? What is it that's making them? Selfishness. Real easy to tell. The real deal won't matter if they beat him like they did Peter and the rest of them, and Paul and Silas, put them in a jail, do all this to them. It won't matter to them. They're not going to compromise. They're not going to throw in the towel and say, well, you know, if I all I got to do is just compromise a little here and I can go on preaching. I can do a lot more good that way than if I'm in a jail cell somewhere. They didn't think like that. The truth is the truth. And God led them to preach what they preached. So they were led by the Spirit. They had power to witness. People that will compromise are not led by the Spirit. Not going to lead you to compromise. We're not to try the people, but the spirits. Both true and false preachers, teachers of religion, claim to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter if they're false. The Pope claims that the Spirit of God leads him. Catholics talk about it, but it's not true. That's not true. The Spirit, so just because they said, the Spirit told me, I've sat and listened to Baptists, independent Baptists tell me, you know, talk for, oh my, hour telling you a story about how they were in their car, or they were asleep in their bed, And the Holy Spirit of God woke them up and told them, get your shoes on, put on your clothes and go get in your car. They got in their car and the Holy Spirit of God told them to turn left and then to turn right and then to go down this street. And, you know, I've heard people tell since. You know how much of it I believe? Zero. Now, you're just an infidel. No, I'm not an infidel. I believe God and I believe the truth. And I believe in the Spirit of God. And I believe in the leading of the Spirit of God. But I don't believe in all that hocus pocus junk that's fake and phony.
Amen.
Won't lead you to righteousness and holiness and right living and preparing to meet God and Jesus who's coming to get us. If it won't take you that direction, it's not. See, that's mystical and mysterious and it makes people think that's spiritual. I mean, and that's what he wanted everybody to think, that he was really spiritual, more than anybody else, really. Because everybody's sitting there saying, man, the Spirit of God never talked to me like that. I must not be up to par. Yeah, but the Spirit that we're supposed to try is that which motivates not only prophets and teachers, but everyone who professes to be a Christian, including ourselves. The motivation. Is it really the kingdom of God and a concern for the spiritual welfare of others? We got to ask that question. If we're going to try the spirits, if we're going to see if they're of God, then we've got to ask ourselves this question. Why am I doing this? Really? Why am I really doing this? Why is he really doing that? It's harder to judge other people's motives, but you can tell what their motives are by the direction they're pointing. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. If you're heading north, I know your back's to the south. As simple as that. Mm-hmm. Or is it something that would, you know, is it something that would advantage self in some way? A name among men. I've known preachers and a lot of them who want to make a name for themselves. And that's what they're about. And there's no question about it. And they'll tell you even if you press them a little bit. I've had some dealings with people who put their work. I thought it was God's work. No, it's their work. They called it my work. The work. And it come above everything else. It didn't matter who it destroyed, what it cost. Nothing was going to happen to this idol. A comfortable way of living. We all know somebody. And he's got a brother, and I remember him. And he told me that his brother went and left the Baptist and joined the Methodist because his brother said it's more money and less work. That's why he became a Methodist preacher.
Wow, that's true.
Comfortable way of living? You betcha. I remember Uncle Deerwood telling us about his pastor down there. He made $1,100 a week salary. Had an expense account. Everything paid for him. Said he ate a half a gallon of Blue Bell ice cream every Sunday night after church. Said he wouldn't come to prayer meeting. Said he told the men that wasn't his thing. And he left for a better position somewhere else. Try the spirits. What's the spirit behind that? The souls of men? The care of the oversight of the flock of God? To feed the flock of God? Is that the motive behind that? Can you believe that that was the motive behind that? Where's the evidence of it? I don't see the evidence. I see the evidence of something else.
Yes.
Well, you ain't supposed to judge. The Bible's telling us right here to judge.
Yes, sir.
Try the spirits.
Exactly.
What does that mean? Judge them. Make a judgment. Look at them. See if they be of God. You got to make a decision. Is this spirit of God or is it not of God? Is this God or is this that man? Or is this the devil involved in it? What is this?
Right.
Well, is the Spirit, you know, is the message in accordance with the Word of God? Well, most people don't know, because, and they can't judge because they don't read and study the Word of God. And they don't know what it says. Well, I heard one time that the Bible says somewhere in there, you know, something about finders, keepers, losers, weepers. I know it's in there. Stuff like that. That's about how much Bible knowledge most people that go to church have. They don't read their Bible. Never do. Never touch it. Never open it. Never think about it till they come to church. Then they got to sit there and endure the preacher harping at them for an hour, whatever. Most of them ain't an hour, but is the Spirit manifested by them concerned about the things that God's concerned about? Now, what do you think God's concerned about in this world, in our lives right now? What is God concerned about? Is He concerned that we get our stimulus check soon? Is, you know, what's He concerned about? Well, He's concerned that you love Him, that you know Him, that you walk with Him, and you ain't going to do that unless you read and study His Word and meditate on it day and night. And if you don't do that, you ain't going to know what anybody's telling you, if it's true or not. You ain't going to be able to obey this verse right here. The Spirit of the message and the messenger is the Spirit of the message and the messenger, like the Spirit of Christ, as we see Him in the Bible. Well, there again, you got to read about Him in the Bible. You got to know Him through the pages of the Scripture,
right,
and not Hollywood movies and not Facebook memes. You got to know Christ as the Bible describes Him and tells us about Him before you can look at somebody else and say, and discern whether he's of the Spirit of Christ. Is this the Spirit of Christ or is this some other spirit? You won't know. You'll be in ignorance and confusion. Jesus was meek and lowly and humble, and more concerned with others than He was Himself. That's how you see the Spirit of Christ. Uncompromising towards sin and those who confuse and hinder the way of salvation. That's how Jesus was. He wasn't compromised with people who confused the way. He had the meanest words He ever said were to those people, the Pharisees, confusing the way. He said, "You blind guides. You know, you start compass land and sea to make one proselyte. When you get him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Right.
You hypocrites, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" That's how Jesus talked to them. Because they were confusing people and they were blocking the way. Why? Why did He do that? Because He cared about people. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so anything, anybody that was hindering that or causing a problem with that, oh, Jesus spoke harshly to them about it. Does the Spirit that's working tend to minister to others? Or does it persuade others to minister to a certain person or a group of persons? The way churches work now is they just try to get people on the plantation so they can get them chained up and working. They encourage everybody to serve here. Serve your church. Serve the pastor. You know? Dad's told me different times about evangelists they had up here one time, and he preached to the people that if they were going to, you know, if they were going to have their horse bred, they needed to talk to the pastor first and get his okay about it. Really? Now what? Try the spirits. Is that the Spirit that ministers to people? Or is that a spirit that tries to get people to minister to certain ones? Does this Spirit confess that Jesus is come in the flesh? There in verses 2 and 3, talks about it. We didn't read them, but you can go on down there and read them.
There's people who deny that Jesus is come in the flesh. And yet they attempt to appear more spiritual than those who believe Jesus did come in the flesh. And you know what the Bible calls them in John, 1 John 4:3? And in 2 John 7, calls them antichrist. Because they deny the humanity of Christ. He was in all points tempted like as we are. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren in everything. Same flesh, same blood. He suffered just like we do. He was a man. Yes, he was God in the flesh. But he was flesh.
Right.
And people don't want to accept that. The Gnostics said that Jesus just appeared to be in the flesh. He was really like a ghost, but he just appeared to be in the flesh. He wasn't really flesh, because all flesh is evil. All flesh is sinful. So Jesus couldn't have been flesh, because flesh is sinful. You ever hear anything like that in a Baptist church? That come from the Gnostics, way back there. Augustine was influenced by the Gnostics very much. And, well, that's a whole other can of worms, but it's the truth. It helps you to discern the spirits if you know a few things too, like that. All right. Does this spirit confess that Jesus has come in the flesh? That the flesh has been dealt with by the incarnation of the Son of God? Why did Jesus become flesh? So he could destroy the works of the devil in the flesh. So he could overcome sin and death in the flesh by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Does this spirit, is that what he's teaching everybody? Or is he teaching them something else? Well, you know where I would like to go, don't you? Is he just teaching that Jesus just paid your bill, bailed you out of jail? You're free. Hallelujah. You're going to heaven, whether you want to or not. A lot of religion believe that Jesus saved everybody. Universalism, that's what it means. Jesus paid for the sin of all the world. Well, that means everybody's saved. Don't worry about it. It's paid for. You're clear. It's like a credit card that never maxes out. And you never get a bill. Never have to make a payment. Just keep buying. All you want. That's what Jesus did for you. Is that what that spirit is causing people to think? Is it causing people to live like they believe that? Spirit of Antichrist. It's not the Spirit of God. Spirit of God will never lead you to believe that way. Spirit of God will always reprove you of sin. All right. There's people who deny that fact that Jesus came in the flesh. Now, let me hurry up. Does the Spirit speak of the world or of God? Verse 5 there in 1 John chapter 4. Does it speak of the world or of God? They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. If it speaks of the world, now what are you talking about here? Speaks of the world. Speaks from the world's viewpoint. Think about that a second. The Spirit that's motivating this speaker, this talker, whoever's talking, whatever they're saying. Is it coming from a world view or from God's view? Now, what do you think most sermons are like nowadays in churches? What do they preach about? Oh, 7 ways to have a happy marriage. 7 ways to be financially secure. Blah, 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 blah. And they say it comes from the Bible. No. You think God's really, that's God's main concern here tonight? How financially secure was Jesus while he lived on this earth? Tell me that. How much did he lay up for retirement? How much did he worry about having his taxes and stuff like that? Zero. Yeah. You know, the birds have nests, and the foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't prearrange his funeral or anything. Didn't do none of that stuff. So, all this wisdom that's in these words of these teachers, where's it come from? Is it of the world? Is it, or do they speak of the world? Or do they speak of God? If it speaks of the world, from the world's viewpoint, it is because it is not of God. We don't get our wisdom from the world. Wisdom, the wisdom that is pure, where does it come from? Yeah, it's first pure, and it comes down from above. This wisdom of the world's earthy and sensual and devilish. Tells you it's not of the Spirit of God. Listen to those words. Listen to that attitude. Think about where it's causing your mind to go and the direction it's pointing you. Earthy? Sensual? Devilish? Or is it God? Their discernment and opinions and views are based upon worldly wisdom and teaching and theories. Theories. There's no place for theories in preaching. Preaching is declaring the truth. Proclaiming the truth. Not setting forth theories. How ridiculous. Well, that's what I think. I don't see how that even fits in anything. Thus saith the Lord. This is the way it is. Because that's what the book says. Who's affected most? And whose attention is most arrested by the Spirit? You got somebody talking? Try the spirits. Believe not every spirit. What's the motive behind this speaking that's being done? This message that's being preached? Who's liking it and who's not liking it? You can discern the spirits that way. Y'all hear me? Just look around you. If you know people, if you know who's walking with God and who's spiritual, really, godly, in the church, watch. You know who's worldly and who's just walking the edge. And watch which ones like him. Like this message. Like this, whatever he's saying. I want to say truth, but if it's not the truth. That tells you what spirit's behind it. If the worldly crowd hears him very readily, then you can assume he's of the world, not of God. Verse 5. I just read it to you. If the worldly crowd does not like him, and the humble, faithful people do, you can easily identify the spirit that's motivating him. That's one of the best ways to tell. The preacher told me that years ago, and I've never forgot it. That's one of those little things that just, man, it's just a key to understanding and discerning. All right, real quick. How does this spirit respond to the things of God? John chapter 8, verse 47. Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Gee, that's the simplicity of it. When God speaks, he puts it to you real simple and straightforward. Jesus just said it real plain. He that is of God heareth God's words. John chapter 10, Brother Kenny preached here last week. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth God's voice." Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So, how does the Spirit respond to the things of God? If he's of God, he'll hear God's words. He'll be teachable with sound reasoning from the Scriptures. Any person that you can't take the Bible and show them what it says and reason with them, if they get mad at you, and if they reject you, and they won't listen, you got your answer. That's all you need to know right there. If the Spirit of God is in them, they will listen. My sheep hear my voice. Ye, they that are of God, he that is of God, hears God's voice. Hears these words. And so that means he'll listen. He'll listen. You won't turn God off. If you're of God, you're not going to say, I ain't listening to God. No, don't tell me that. Don't read that to me. I don't want to hear it. You ain't going to hear that out of somebody that's of God. So, how does the Spirit respond? If he's not of God, he'll not hear God's words. He won't listen. If he is of God, he'll hear God's words, and he'll be teachable with sound reasoning from the Scriptures. That's how we discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 6 there. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, first verse tells us, believe not every spirit. Then he tells us all the way down through there how to tell. And what's what? He instructs us real clearly here. So we're responsible before God not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. And that's not just for church. That don't mean just in the church service. That means everything else you read on Facebook and books and newspapers and magazines and what everybody else tells you. Try the Spirit. See, the devil don't just get after you in church. He's after you all the time. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to get you to ignore this right here and just believe every spirit. Just because somebody's nice doesn't mean they're right with God. Doesn't mean that the Spirit of God's... Just because somebody is generous with you, that don't mean that God is in that at all. We just let down all of our guards just real easy. If they come up and say, here's a nice cookie, well, you're my hero. What else do you want to tell me? I believe anything you say. How foolish. I mean, I'm just being a little outlandish there, but I mean, I'm just saying, if people just strike us the right way, then we just let down the guards. We don't even question the spirit behind it. That's how the devil gets you. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Think about it. He acts like a sheep and talks like a sheep and pretends to be a sheep. So you think he's a sheep, so you just embrace him and then he gets you. Huh. Oh, beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the Spirit. Don't mean you ought to be skeptical and cynical of everybody and everything, but just try the spirits. Look at these little things that we talked about here tonight. Just simple little things. Forget about whether you like them or not or how they strike you, the person. Don't try the people. Try the Spirit. Behind what they're saying. Behind what's going on. Look deeper. Look farther. Don't just go along with your nose on the ground like an old hound dog. Spiritually, I'm talking about. Just perk up, look up. See what's going on around you. I hit a little bird on the road the other day. You know why? Because he wasn't looking. He could have got out of the way real easy if he just looked my way one time. But he didn't look. I hated it. I wasn't trying to hate him. But it cost him his life. Serious business. Pay attention what's going on. Yes. Pay attention who's talking to you. This is, our weapons are not carnal. This warfare is not carnal. It's, I mean, there's a big deal going on. You're in the devil's crosshairs.
Yes, sir.
And you're in a world that hates God and hates everybody that belongs to Him. So if you're going to profess to know God and live in this world, you're a target. You need to be aware of that. And be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. All right. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth and the help that it gives us. Lord, it helps me to read and study these things and to just hear them. I hope somebody else is helped by it too.
And Lord, I pray you'd help us to keep this and to remember this and to apply it in the right way. It's in the Word of God, and it's clear instruction you give us here to, so that we wouldn't be deceived and we wouldn't be fooled and confused about everything. And so, Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.